Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Good morning to you all. It is light outside, Dan. It feels like maybe this is the... I know we're almost at the halfway mark now of the NFL season.
Above that. It's week 10.
Yep.
Yeah, we are above the halfway mark.
Here we are, and it's light outside. So that's good for us, and maybe that's a change of... Now, it's funny. Over the last couple of weeks, dude, I've had people reach out to me, NFL's been tough, and then there are these people who just bet the underdogs and they're crushing, and you know, and then it really has been week to week tough to cover. Like the spots you originally think don't, like I couldn't figure out the Titans. That's one that last week that kind of got me. Arizona, I should have expected McCoy to still play well with that offense. You know, it's just something for me. I just should have thought of, but looking around at some of the, look at the Dolphins game on Thursday night. We talked about it on our podcast. For those who don't know, we do a Thursday quick hit. It's live at 5 o'clock. And we mentioned how it's just a bad spot with the line for the Ravens, and they end up losing outright.
Yeah. I mean, and in a game that, I mean, I guess it was competitive early on, but it got out of hand, especially in the fourth quarter. And I thought Miami dominated that game. Now, again, unfortunately, in my opinion, the thing that really dominated that game, Joe, was the refs. The refereeing, the primetime games.
Are you saying a wrangle, Dan, in primetime games?
Joe, we have talked about it for years. You are going to get more corruption on a primetime game, and people always ask why it's so much easier during a weekend when there's 50 games going on. Yeah, 100% right, but the handle of a Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night game is significantly higher than one of, you know, five games or six games going on in the Sunday afternoon.
Well, let me give you an example just on the Thursday night football game. Maybe you have a certain play in mind, but remember Andrews caught a pass. They, like, reviewed it late. Ravens are starting to get a little roll going, and they said the ball was incomplete. And, I mean, it was ruled a catch on the field.
It never touched the ground.
Where was the evidence that it hit the ground?
There was none. I haven't seen an angle still where the ball hit the ground.
But have you seen a play that is called completed on the field that never shows the ball hit the ground and it gets overturned?
It's the NFL, man.
It's not complaining about a side. It's just that made no sense. If it was on the field, it was called an incomplete. They reviewed it and said it hit the ground, and the field call would have stayed. You know what I mean? It just, that would make no sense. Let's go to the Pittsburgh game. I mean, there was so many things that favored the Steelers who were favorites. And I know we sound like we're complaining about the refs, but I think it's more unwatchable at times, right? Like, what is an actual catch? That Bears game, man, there was so many things going on in that one. The Tony Corrente thing favored the Steelers. They wanted the Steelers. We all know it. The Cassius Marsh thing, maybe he did taunt the sideline, but he wasn't. He should have thrown the penalty way earlier, right?
Just ridiculous, ridiculous calls.
And then the little hip check into him, and then throw the flag.
Yeah,
that was
ridiculous calls. I mean, there's no question about it.
It was a little fishy to me, and then I just thought the Titans blew out the Rams. Stafford didn't have it.
People, look, I'm just gonna say this. People say, "Oh, it's not fixed. Oh, it's bad. You know, bad this, bad that." You can tell me whatever you want. Politicians take money for their agendas. You don't think that the freaking refs in an NFL game who are part-time employees are going to take money to fix a sport? Come on.
Well, I'm not going to go there. I just think that they can influence.
No, it's okay. We can go there.
Influence.
Fix it.
Last week, I thought.
Not every game, but a lot of those games are, you know, there's influential decisions going on there.
Last week, Patriots-Panthers game, I was all in on the Wrangle.
Fair point.
And the Donald effect happened.
Dude, Blakeman tried.
Those first two series, Blakeman tried. I heard Bedard call it a clown show. You really think about the Patriots, how bad the first two drives were, or three drives were, and Carolina did nothing to capitalize on it, the Patriots lose those games elsewhere, right? Like, another team will just score off those. And they had another turnover that led for a touchdown. It was bad, man.
Blakeman tried.
Anyways, no more. Well, there was wrangles all over the place. We do have your weekly wrangles if you want them. We have a buddy, Bill, who every week just sends us the ref stats. So maybe we'll retweet those at some point so you guys can take a look at it. You want to talk about a night? I think I was on USF. I didn't bet it. We didn't PP it or anything. Hey, Cincinnati just had to get in there, win the game, go home.
Yep.
That's what they did, and USF covered. The Boise State game, Dan, unfortunately.
One of the worst beats of my life. And I've had a lot of beats, a lot of losses. I don't remember the last time I saw something like that.
If you bet a lot, if you bet a lot, you've seen a lot of bad things happen. And what I mean by bad things is, like, dude, my buddy had, like, an under once. And he saw an interception and freaked out, thought the game was going to end. The guy ran it in for a touchdown and went over. I've seen free throws get tipped back in on a – he missed the free throw, so you win your bet. And then it gets tipped back in and you lose your bet by one. Dan, I've seen it all. I can tell you the 06 championship – the 06 AFC championship game is still the biggest loss of my life. And I will never forget what happened with Peyton Manning. And I will never forget what I've seen. We've seen it all, man. And last night, Boise State is covering. The spread was 13.5, I believe. And they were tied at halftime. Oh, no, they were up 10-7 at halftime.
Yep.
They kick a field goal, and then they
A field goal, score a touchdown, up 12. Don't go for two for whatever reason. I don't know who the hell is hiring these coaches, but you don't go for two up 12. Okay.
I'm just laughing because it's so funny.
Then they drive
that
all
was the dagger, though, right?
Yeah.
That was the dagger.
They drive all the way down the field with like 30 seconds left, like literally a minute left, and kick the field goal, which makes absolutely no sense. Like, aren't you supposed to? Anyways.
Boise
coaching sucks. The coaching sucks.
Okay? Anyone on Boise last night?
Then
you lost on the final play of the game.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, it's just they're not doing anything. First play for Wyoming, I think there's a minute left. Sack. Next play is a catch of like 4 yards. Guy stays in bounds, can't even get out of bounds. There's like 20 seconds left when they hike the ball. All you got to do is tackle this kid, and maybe they get off one more play, maybe. But they're not, dude, and they, for whatever reason, they just decided we're just going to let this kid run. I don't know what the heck they were thinking. I don't know what they were doing. They hadn't thrown on them all night, so they decided to play, like, 20-yard deep coverage. Don't. Just play regular coverage. They're not going to, you don't need to worry about throwing
deep. I saw the play.
And
it was bad.
Just insane.
I'm only laughing, Dan, because it was so bad that you have to laugh about it to feel better about it.
It swung my night, so I'm not laughing. I'm angry.
Oh, no, I would be too, and I'm so glad that I fell asleep. I'm so glad that I put wrestling on and it bored me so bad that I went to sleep. But I saw what happened at the end of the Boise game, and I didn't want to reach out. I was like, I'm going to talk to Dan first thing in the morning today, and here we are. That was a bad beat, and we don't do a lot of bad beat talk. You know, we could do a weekly.
Loss is a loss, win's a win. Like,
yeah, you're either on the right side or you're not.
You have good ones sometimes, you have bad ones sometimes. It's part of it. That one is different. That's an outlier.
I haven't seen one of those in a.
That's an outlier.
That 4 seconds left.
The last time I saw something like that was, I can't remember, was it the ECU game or whatever, where they allowed a touchdown with like half a second left, and then they did an onside kick, and the guy returned the onside kick for the touchdown. Now, yeah. That went in my favor. So, I, you know what I mean? Like, so that, like, that's the last, like, game in that sort of way. I mean, like, they have fumbles at the end of games, and, like, they're throwing it around. Like, look, you just have to expect that that's not a possibility at this point every game. So I don't consider that nearly as bad as others. This was different. Like, this is, like, 25 seconds around, like, their own 30, like, own 25, whatever. I mean, like, they were doing nothing. So this is a different beat. I think it's similar to the onside kick I won a couple years ago. I think it was East Carolina. I can't remember.
Oh, we got our big podcast coming up. A live podcast we're doing
Thursday.
This Thursday night, it's at Boston Billiard Club and Casino. I was there this past week for a poker tournament, but we're gonna get that nice
with
room on the
Sarge.
Side. Sarge. I like Sarge. Yes, we.
I'd like to.
So he was out before me.
Really,
Dan. I. Man, I haven't played poker in a long time. Let's just say that I was up big time.
And then you were not.
Everyone at the table was like, man, you're doing really well. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, I got Jack 9 or something. Or Jack 9. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll go a little heavy on this. Let's see what we got here. Because the table had a Jack. So I'm like, all right, well, here we go. Like, let's just keep it going. And there was a 7 on the table. And I had Jack 9, and someone had Jack 7, and I lost. It wasn't good. That one hurts. Yeah, that's why the poker game is like something you just gotta. That's a patience game, and you know what? Like Jay-Z always said, "I ain't got no patience, and I hate waiting."
I'd rather play blackjack for 10 hours than play poker for an hour.
I
just can't.
I was at Encore yesterday, Dan. We record the weekly spread weekly there, and I kicked around the casino at about. Might have been 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And,
was it lively?
It was busy because I think it was raining out.
Yeah.
But, there should be like a happy hour minimum table. What do you think about that? Because, like, you know, $50 for a buy in, that's at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon is a little.
It's a little steep.
Well, just for me, I'd rather spend my money later on in the night after, yeah. You know, I've already done everything and I want to relax like
they,
now.
Can they,
you know?
Can they go like the Foxwood route and go like $10 tables? And
I would have taken 15.
Even 20, right?
We're at 20, yeah. 25, whatever. And I was like, I'm like, I got the rest of my night here. Like, yeah. I don't want to do this right now. So I backed away from the table and I bet the Celtics last night. We got lucky in overtime.
Oh, yeah, well.
All right, Dan. Well, we're going to do a ton of NFL. As people know, we did our big podcast for the college football, which is today. So, and I mentioned that Thursday night's our big podcast. I've already thought of a few ideas that we should do. I texted you one of them. Maybe we can add a bad beat. Just like let people kind of, you know, hey, let us know your some bad beats.
Bad boys that was a bad one. I can tell you your Middleton 3 is a bad one. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, yeah. And Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo 3 is bad. That happened. That happened like within like a couple like.
It was when LeBron was on the Cavs. And,
right. No, I know. But did that happen within a couple days of each other?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
actually, it might have been like the same weekend.
I think it was like within
a couple
days.
I think one was
a
Friday and one was a Sunday.
I feel like it was within
Middleton
a
hit a 3 on an out of bounds play that they never like even.
No, it was just a throw and chuck. Yeah, and then I remember the Oladipo one was.
Oladipo was a time running down,
right?
Not half court,
but like
a pull up, like
Steph Curry range,
long three that was meaningless.
Yep,
and it went over the total.
Curry range. Yep.
Well, that one's. I mean, I'm over those ones now. We're on to some new ones because they're all over the place. And so weekly, every week it's underdog, right? Or home road dog. Or sorry, road dog. Every single week, and I don't know. I don't even know where you want to start this week because I have to pick 3 games every week. It's 3 games. We give a lot out, obviously, on the show on the podcast. And this week, like, obviously, you do the Patriots. I looked at the Saints in Tennessee, and I looked at the Rams in San Francisco. So we'll get into those in a bit. But, like, should Dallas be? I mean, they were 10-point favorites. Now they're 8.5. Atlanta's a playoff team right now. They're actually in the playoffs at 4-4 off a big win over the Saints. Do you think the Cowboys just turn it on and score points this week? I know the Atlanta defense isn't good. They have a short. They're going to have a short week with the Patriots on deck. So, I just when I look at the Dallas, I actually need to see something from them again before I. So at this point, I take Atlanta just for the fact because I don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. I do feel like maybe Dallas will score this week, so maybe the overs in play. The total is 52. It's 54.5 right now. But I just think I need another week to see what Dallas is before I don't know. Again, an investment of 8.5 at home hasn't been really good this year.
Yeah. Do you want to start there?
Yeah, let's
do
start? Dallas. All right, fine.
Let's start with Dallas, Atlanta. Look, I think Atlanta at 9.5, 10, not a bad play. I think there's still 10 minus 125-ish out there. I don't hate that. I told you I haven't been that high on Dallas, and I wasn't high against the Patriots. They covered in a miraculous way. And then last week, they crapped the bed. Now, I think that there's probably going to be some overreaction to last week, right? People, oh, Dallas going back to their old ways, yada, yada, yada. I think there's going to be a bit of an overreaction to that game. It's probably not nearly as bad as they were last week. They were off last week, right? And there's, you know... Sometimes they just a team just isn't ready.
I don't think any of those guys practiced.
They didn't look
prepared. Cooper, who else did? CeeDee Lamb didn't. I don't even think Dak practiced.
They didn't look prepared. They did not look ready.
Hey, by the way, that's something we're seeing with the NFL. You notice that? These guys aren't practicing during the week. They're playing on Sunday. The stars perform. Like, the guys who show in and week out perform. But it's like the Sam Darnolds, like even McCaffrey had a slow week, if you look at it. That's been something, and maybe that's got something to do with the 17th game that everyone's already bitching about.
I was going to say it's a longevity thing.
Everyone's already bitching about, and Brady's leading the charge.
Brady's leading the charge, yeah.
McCourty yesterday doubled down.
And by the way, let me tell you something. If the owners try and go against Brady, they're going to take an L. They will take a fat L because everyone and their mother loves Tom Brady all of a sudden. He's not a Patriot anymore. So, yeah, I mean, dude, they will take a gigantic L on that one. So, yeah, I would be very careful as the owners, but...
What about Atlanta, Dan Quinn on Dallas, the former coach, obviously. First, Matt Ryan. Ryan's been good. Whatever anybody wants to say, he's had a nice season.
The thing is that he's done it without a ton of talent around him. Gridley's been out, you know, in and out of the lineup all year.
That story. Pitts has had his good moments and rookie moments.
I told you I didn't think that Pitts was going to be a great NFL talent. I thought he'd be okay.
Massive drop last week.
I don't see it. Like, I see the explosiveness there. But, like, again, he reminds me of Hawkinson, like, just so inconsistent, and he was the same in Florida. Like, he was just so much bigger than everyone else. It was so easy for him to dominate. But, yeah, Pitts has not been good. Russell Gage, who's, supposed to be their number two sometimes, has been super inconsistent. Cordarrelle Patterson has literally had to come out of nowhere to become, like, their best player. So, yeah, I think Atlanta, again, Dallas' issue is stopping the pass. Matt Ryan, Cordarrelle, they've been able to move the ball and figure out ways to get it downfield, whether it's Hayden Hurst 1 week or Zacchaeus 1 week or whoever's playing for them. They find ways to get the ball downfield regardless of who it is. I think Tajay Sharpe was in there 1 week a couple weeks ago, blast from the pass from the Titans. So, like, they're finding ways to get guys and move the ball. And I like Atlanta. I'm not going to PP it, but I like Atlanta to cover the number. Even with Dallas at home this week, I do. I just think that Dallas is still too heavily overvalued in this spot. This should be 7.
Yeah, and just give me a team that's off a win against a team that didn't do much. That at one point was a double digit favorite. That clearly the money has gone the other way. I look at a player prop on this one. I'm going to give out a PP before we go to break here. Ooh. Player prop, and Dan, I should do more props. I'm not doing the old pat on the back just yet. But let's see if this one sticks. Matt Ryan, over 281.5 passing yards.
All right.
It's minus 115. But if, I'll pay a little bit of juice because I think this one's going to hit. The way the Cowboys pass defense, as you mentioned it, dude, he threw 343 last week against the Saints.
No, I get it.
You listen, 282 yards.
You know how I feel about.
Yep, you don't about, like the overs.
I don't like playing overs again. And this is why, Joe. My thoughts of player props are simply this: if you play there, if you add up all the points on a potential over, like if you played over on everyone's player props, you'd be over the team total, over the you know everything. There's no way that everyone can go over. If you went under, it's still possible to hit. Everyone can go under. That is possible.
Yep.
So there's always going to be a greater edge on the under than the over just through the general statistics. Now, every prop is different, and of course some props are better for overs. I agree with you on the Ryan over. I do, because I think that if you're going to beat the Cowboys in Dallas, I think you're going to have to throw the football around.
All right, bro. Well, there you go. We'll leave it off. Tyler's here today. He's let us go 5 minutes later than
we should. Nah, it's fine.
No, that's my fault.
Nah, it's fine. It was both of our faults.
We just have a shorter break coming up next. So, all right, let's get into the games. We just kicked it off with Dallas and Atlanta, and we'll get into the rest of the 1 o'clock, including the Saints and Tennessee Titans. All that coming up next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Chats, the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, back here on the DraftKings Over Under Show. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We're in on week 10 of the NFL season. Let's get just a couple of these games out of the way. We already did Dallas, Atlanta. I don't want to bore everybody with some of these games, but Detroit is an 8-point dog, Dan. Money's coming in on Detroit right now. Pitt opened 9. It's now 8. Pitt's on a short week. We all know about Detroit. We all keep rooting for good old Detroit to get that win at some point. I'm not sure if it'll be this week, the way that Pittsburgh has been playing. Their defense has been good. Najee Harris, I got to admit, thought it was a bad pick. I thought their line was terrible. And he's, catching the ball, running the ball very well.
I mean, that's great and all, but he was a running back in the first round.
Yep.
Again, if you look back through the history, just, again, this year, the elite running backs, who was an elite running back who was picked in the first round? Zeke Elliott?
Zeke, I think Saquon, if you want to come in.
I do not consider Saquon Barkley.
And then other first round picks, Hilaire's hurt. Michelle got traded.
Hilaire has been hurt all year. Michelle, definitely not an elite back. I mean, there's, there are a ton of guys.
Just thinking of first round picks.
Yeah. I mean, ATN didn't even get on the field this year. All the recent first round running backs really just stop taking running backs in the first round. You can find guys literally anywhere. James Robinson, undrafted free agent. You know what I mean? Alvin Kamara, elite running back, third round. Chubb in the second round. Kamara, third round. Like there's a was Derrick Henry a first round pick?
Yes.
Derrick Henry might be the Derrick Henry might
be
the
second round pick.
I think he was the second for whatever. But Derrick Henry might be the only exception to the rule if he was a first round pick. Honestly, I don't remember off the top of my head. What he was. No, he was a second round pick.
Yep,
so again, you don't need to take running backs in the first round. It's stupid. If Najee Harris is not a top three running back year in and year out, it's a waste pick in my opinion.
Dalvin Cook
second round pick.
Second round pick, that's right. Yep. McCaffrey was
first round pick.
Just thinking.
I think McCaffrey was a top 10 pick.
Yeah, hilarious. Was Jacobs? No, Jacobs was.
No, because Jacobs was a first round pick, but he sucked. When I say suck, I mean he's not terrible,
He's just not elite.
McCaffrey's elite, but what's the problem now? Availability. He was last year.
I get the point. It's just Harris, though, has made them better.
Okay, I mean, yeah, he's made them better. But Antonio Gibson, third-round pick, you know what I mean? Like, we can do this all day. Most of the running backs are, you know, where did Jones from the Green Bay get picked? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. You get my point.
So Roethlisberger didn't practice all week. The Lions were in every game besides the last one when they got blown out by the Eagles, 44-6. So, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's always bound to be taken down.
I don't see it.
Well, I think they're rolling a little bit. I think they're in the AFC conversation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
they're gonna lose to Detroit.
Maybe it's just me. I don't see it. I don't think this. Everyone.
How about
everyone,
a T spot here? What about a T spot?
For who?
Eight down. I mean, either way, really, if you look at it.
Eight to 2 or 8 to 14. Yeah, I mean, again, we actually talked about on the podcast how 14 has actually become a key teaser number than 10 has in the past couple of years in the NFL, not college football, in the NFL. I think it's like almost 0.5% higher that, you know, 14 hits than 10, which is interesting. So yeah, if you want to bring Detroit up to 14, I'm not going to make an argument for you. I'm just going to say this: they're about to start back to back. They just got blown out by the Eagles, 44-6, in a non-competitive game. Was that 2 weeks ago? They're off the bye right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone loves Detroit off the bye. You know what that means? Detroit's going to suck. Give me Pittsburgh -8. PP Tyler, if you wouldn't mind bringing me up here. Yep. There it is. Pittsburgh -8.
You see the total on that one? The Steelers are 0-8 against their spread the last 8 games as a favorite.
The total says to me that Detroit's not going to score.
I feel you on that. So I didn't think Pittsburgh was any great shakes against Chicago. Okay, I really didn't. I just think they're just one of these AFC teams with 5 wins that are hanging around and still think their receivers drop ball. Freiermuth has been good. I got to admit. And I've always loved Freiermuth.
Well, he's a local guy, yeah.
Legit. I mean, they might have to throw to him a little bit more. And I think Roethlisberger last week was like, all right, we got something here with this kid. Last 8 games, 0-8 against the spread. And as a favorite, when they're at home, they're 0-7. So, and I agree with you on the under. I think the under is the right spot here. Detroit's just a slow-ass team.
I'm not on the total. I have no interest in the total. I'm merely just saying, like, I think if you look at the total, I think it tells you that, in my opinion, Detroit doesn't score much. That's all.
All right. Jacksonville, divisional dog, goes to Indianapolis, 10.5. Similar number to the Jets, if you think about it. But Jacksonville's off the win. So I just think in these divisional games, it's good to go with the dog. But they won, right? Is this like, we won our Super Bowl, like emotional letdown? I think the Colts guy right now, Carson Wentz, is hot. They're 2-3. They're the best running game in football, and Jacksonville's not going to stop that, if you ask me. I think they can keep it close. They met last year. It was 28-14. You know, end of the year there. So, still a divisional game. I don't know if you want to back Jacksonville here. But I just think their running game, the way they're playing right now, is really, really hard to stop right now. I think Jonathan Taylor might be one of the best running backs in football right now.
Oh, wow. Look at that. And he was, second-round pick? So, look, this is going to be a second or third-round pick. I can't remember. Anyways, to me, this is a game where, the way that Jacksonville's been playing, coming off a tremendous win. Second-round pick for Taylor. Coming off a tremendous win. Jacksonville's been banged up. Lawrence got hurt. Everyone's been in and out of practice this week. Robinson didn't really play last week. The Colts tend to run the football, just get in, get out. Indy's not playing good football right now, and it's hard to back them in this spot. We always talk about bet spots, not teams. This is definitely a spot where you'd want to bet Indy coming off a Jacksonville, big loss coming. Our big win is going to be on a letdown here. Indy gave up 30 to the Jets. Longer week against the Jets. I get that, and I understand the spot for people who are betting Indy. It's divisional game. I like the divisional dog. You're actually seeing this line up to 12 minus 150.
Wow.
In some places. Yeah. It's a lot of points. I lean Jacksonville with the points. I don't have a great feel on the
only thing I'll disagree with you on is I do think the Colts offense has been very good.
Yeah, Colts offense has been great, but I mean,
averaging 35 points a game.
But defensively, they gave up 34 to the Titans and 30 to the Jets in back to back weeks.
And they could have given up a nice little backdoor.
They could not stop the Jets last week. Like,
I agree.
Again, it was what Josh Johnson he was throwing all over them. Like, again, I'm not just saying, like, let's all relax with, you know, with the Indy takes. Yeah, offensively, they might be cooking, but defensively,
points,
they can't do
Tennessee
anything.
Tennessee and the Jets.
And let's not forget, they were up 14-0 against that Titans team. They blew it.
That's right.
So, you know, just be careful.
Divisional dog, it's just, do you want to take Jacksonville?
Division?
It might be a spot.
Again, Jacksonville.
Well, back-to-back weeks, they got lucky last week. You know what I mean? Like, why go again? I agree. Like, it's just a, you're going back to the well here on a team that barely covered a week ago with a number. Let's do this one before the break. New Orleans, Tennessee. The line's 3. It was 2.5 at some points during the week.
Yep. Well, Kamara got ruled out.
Kamara got ruled out. So I still think Mark Ingram can run the football. I think Taysom Hill could be involved. I know he's been dealing with a concussion of late. So I don't know if you want me or you're going to give the PP. I don't know if it's a double PP or whatnot. I love New Orleans this week. New Orleans, when they've been an underdog this year, they're 3-0 against the spread. And they've won all 3 outright. They have a great run defense. Tennessee did not run the ball well last week. They did not. So I just love New Orleans' history as a road dog. And I just think that Tennessee right now, I think they're going to struggle to run the ball again this week. They're playing against a tough team. Again, that plays well on the road. That's really good at defense. And I like New Orleans. PP can ring the bell. I think this is the square play of the week.
Yep, I'm agreeing. Double PP right here. So here we go. There you go. Double PP on the Saints plus 3. Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. This is the square play of the week. And
oh, wow, no Kamara. It's only 3 points. This you're gonna get roasted.
Yeah. So this is exactly what I think, and I'll just tell you what I think. Okay. The Saints, as you just talked about, have a tremendous run defense. Tremendous run defense. What does that mean for the Titans? Offensively, you become one-dimensional. And when you become one-dimensional, when you have to go up against a secondary that has Marshawn Lattimore, like, let's not forget, the Patriots struggled to throw the ball against this team. Now, as a local angle, look, Mac Jones is a little bit different then. They weren't throwing the ball as well back then. Slightly a little different, right? Still, this is a team that is very good against the pass, regardless of who it is. They're going to make it tough on you to move the football against them. We saw that in the Brady game a couple weeks ago. The Titans are being heavily overvalued now after the past couple weeks, right? They get a big win against the Colts in a spot they probably shouldn't have. They lose Henry for the season probably, and then last week, they become 7.5-point dogs to the Rams. They beat a fantastic Rams team in a game that wasn't that competitive. And now we're getting Titans minus 3 at home in a spot where the whole world is backing this team now, which means letdown city versus a team who has been fantastic on the road, fantastic as a dog. And I know not having Kamara sucks. I totally agree with that. But he's worth about 0.5 point to the spread from bookmakers. He was probably already baked in that he wasn't playing. I love the Saints plus 3 this week, Joe. Love it.
Yeah, I just want to like fade a team in a letdown spot after winning some big games. I mean, we mentioned the Saints defense. They're a lot, 19.4 points per game and 73 rushing yards per game. Last week, Tennessee could not run the football.
And also, let's not forget, the Saints are coming off a divisional loss. Everyone's going to be down on them, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. It's a different ball game in division. These divisional opponents know each other so well, it is completely different than preparing for an AFC South team than it is, you know, competing or preparing for an NFC South team. It's just not the same. You can't compare the preparation or the depth that these teams know each other. It's just not the same.
Well, the old research team.
And by the way,
go ahead.
By the way, finally, ref on this one, Jerome Boger.
Oh.
He is the Tony Brothers of the NFL. He's not the head guy. He's not the guy, but he's right there. He's right there.
I will.
He is on the take.
We have Jerome Boger. Do I have a Jerome Boger stat this week? I'll look it up. I will say this. The old research team has done some investigation here, and it looks like the last 31 games at New Orleans has been a road underdog. They have covered in 23 of 31. That's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, not bad.
I know that's going way back, but I like it. I just wanted to help the old argument there. All right, I'll take a quick break. More games, more 1 o'clock games coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We're just cruising along the old 1 o'clock slate here. We've already gotten into the New Orleans-Tennessee game. Let's look at the Jets. Getting 12.5. I don't know what's the angle here. Is it the Buffalo double-digit favorite was bad last week, bounces back this week? Is that one angle, or is it the Jets again with was it Mike White? You know, so I'm a little torn on which way to go here. I'm not back in Buffalo. I'm telling you that right now, and I know there will be some people out there that will. My problem with Buffalo is they can't run the football. Like, why is Josh Allen consistently the leading rusher for that team? When they played last year, Dan, Buffalo won 18-10 in a low-scoring game. And I know it's completely different this year, but still, it's still a divisional team. Divisional home dog getting 13 points on the road. The way the NFL has gone this year, I think the Jets might be a spot here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not betting the Jets, but I do lean New York. Buffalo on the road as a double-digit favorite. It's just... That's not a spot I'm interested in taking by any means. But the last time they were a big favorite on the road was that Miami game. They won 35-0, where basically Miami had a million yards of offense, couldn't score. And then that Titans game where they lost outright. So I have no interest in betting Buffalo here.
Can I throw something else at you? So the Jets have struggled to stop the run at times this year, but in their wins against Cincinnati, 51 yards on the ground. So, like, if Buffalo struggles to run the football and keeps the ball in Allen's hands all day, that could be an advantage for them to cover the spread. I don't think they'll win the game. I think they can cover.
Just straight up, my biggest issue with the way that Buffalo is playing this season is they're trying to use Devin Singletary too much. Devin Singletary, in my opinion, not a good running back.
Oh, yeah, he's been catching the ball a ton.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
He's become like Theo Riddick, what he used to be.
Yeah, okay. You know? And that's fine. But run the football with Zach Moss. Moss is a better runner.
Great.
He's violent. Like, you know what you're going to get with him at the point of attack. He can block. He can block, rushers and everything. Like, in my opinion, Moss is significantly better than Singletary, and I don't think it's very close. And I just don't think they give him enough run. And, you know, they did earlier in the season. Singletary right now, 73 carries, 355 yards. It's just, it's not working. So, I don't know. Try something else. Like, you know, and by the way, the stats in Singletary are extremely misleading because he had two early games where he was a monster. And after that, he's done jack. So, you know, the 5 yard carry average or whatever looks great on paper, but in reality, he hasn't been that guy. So it's just that, to me, go with Zach Moss if you want to run the football. And I think that that's been their biggest issue. We saw that last week. Run the football correctly. On the road against a division opponent, laying double digits, coming off a loss where you literally could not do anything offensively. I expect them to rebound this week, but everyone's going to be on the Bills in a get right rebound spot, which I don't think it is. It's a back-to-back road game against a divisional opponent laying double digits. It's not a good spot.
Has there been a get right spot this year? Like, I don't think there really has for anybody. The Lions.
I think the Patriots definitely had some get right spots. The get right spot against the Bucks. I mean, that is a legit.
Yeah, it was a loss though. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but they covered. Forget about it's not about it's not about the it's not about wins and losses.
That's true. It's not about winning or losing. It's about making money and covering.
Yeah, it's about covers and non covers. Yeah. So yeah.
Where's that for a promo, everybody?
Yeah, there you go. Cut that.
Here's that one. Yeah. It's not about winning and losing. It's about
on winning. This show. It's not about winning and losing outright. It's about bets. Covering the damn spread, which Boise couldn't effing do last night. By the way.
Oh geez.
Oh my Atlanta.
This is a good one.
Avalos.
What's funny?
He is on my. He is my on Twitter, my dog poop list. Yeah.
My Twitter is up, and. The spread just shows number six taking a slant in between two defensive backs. He catches it between two defensive backs and then just runs around them for 74 yards,
by
the way.
Just stop. You're torturing me.
And then you just see 3, 4, 5 people chasing him to the end zone. I'm going to retweet it, Dan, so you can see it.
If someone had just tackled him, like right before the end zone, just shoestring tackled him. They can't get the next play. It's over. They get, it's just like, come on. Oh.
All right. You can see the final play that we're talking about
here. Angry, Dan.
I am at Joey Murr on Twitter, JoeyMurr. It is from the Wyoming Cowboy football team. And, Dan, if you want to watch it, set back to pass, a little slant over the floor. Oh, there he goes.
What bad safety action.
The 20, the 10, 5 men to beat.
Look, what was the safety doing? The safety, came up and then just, didn't do anything.
What did the safety
hit him.
Do?
Go hit him.
What did the safety do?
I don't know.
Where's this guy? How come he wasn't fast enough? Did he give up? I think that guy gave up tackling. Number 20.
Look at this.
Well, 28.
He just stops, right? What do you mean? Go hit him. You're supposed to be the safety.
Why did he hit him? Why did he try to tackle him?
Why are you stopping?
Grab his shoestring.
You're the safety. Hit him. Oh.
Pull his leg like Mac Jones.
I don't know about that. Just tackle him. Tackle him.
It's funny. I know you lost, but it's just such a bad beat that we have to laugh about it.
Oh, no. I'm laughing.
It's the only way I'll feel better.
Or
you'll feel better.
I want to punch a hole in the wall, but I'm laughing.
But, what happened? Hey, don't tackle him, guys.
I'm watching one more time. Doing?
Okay, ready?
He just stops.
Okay, ready? Stop. And
why?
You trip him. Anything. And then the safety, 28. He's going to tackle him. He comes in the picture. He stops, too. It's like in Madden when you get the guy to pull off a little bit.
It's like when you change the player and it's the wrong player. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what he did. Just stop. What are you doing?
You just keep watching it. It's on repeat.
I'm done. I'm getting off
He almost got tackled before the goal line, too.
Torturing me. It's torture.
I wonder if they would have scored with 4 seconds left. If he got stopped at the 1 yard line.
Speaking of torture. Trying to do second halves today in college basketball and college football is going to be torture.
Oh, geez.
At the same time. And I will tell you, the college basketball slate is not nearly as full as the usual Saturday. It's first Saturday, so the slate's fuller on a Friday than it is Saturday. Next week, I think they have I think it's 160 games, 50 games, whatever the heck it is. It's insane next Saturday.
I've had two college basketball bets so far, but I'm a Maui Classic guy. Give me the old Maui Classic, Bill Walton. Nighttime games that go all night. That's where I started.
Where Bill Walton is high off his,
He's like, I'm here and what a beautiful place. And he just starts mentioning all these guys from 50 years ago who played at all the schools.
And he used to do the UCLA games, but now they're good again. Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to get the UCLA.
Tony Juicehead.
Last night.
Overtime win last night.
Did you see that game?
Yeah.
But BS. Refs. You want to talk about
Rangel,
refs
that was
screwed.
Good.
No. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I... Didn't have Nova. I'm just commenting or whatever. Ref screwed Nova last night. Yeah. Lot of screw jobs early in the last couple
of
weeks.
So it's just a toolbox, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a toolbox. A lot of nails.
It's just
a lot of screws.
A toolbox of stuff going on. Should we take that call here, Tyler, or should we?
Yeah, let's take it.
Well, I don't know who it is. It's Brian, who's in Boston. Hey, you might have to pot him up, dude. Hey, Brian, you're on the DraftKings over on the show.
What's up, Brian? Brian.
There he is.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
You there?
Hi, Brian.
All right, well, Brian,
I know you're there. Yeah, I know you are.
Nah, I think he's in a bad cell spot. Call us back, Brian.
I know it's weird. I can see the board in the room move, but nobody's there.
You're watching Fred's board.
Yeah, it's like spooky. I'm sure it's controlled from the other room, but
it is. Yeah, Tyler's controlling.
It's just freaky. It's like a piano playing. If you weren't, anyways.
Okay.
Well, that Brian fellow, you should call back.
All right.
Did you have Boise State last night? If you watch the replay, seriously. It literally looks like in Madden when you change the guy to not like to let the other team score.
That's exactly what it looks
to get
like.
The ball back to win the game.
Exactly,
you know?
What it looks like. So,
what was he doing? So we played football. When you like, remember how like they do the game film and like they, you know, they just show like,
I'm sure.
What were you doing here? And it's like, I don't know.
I'm sure they'll film the next day.
They're gonna rewind that play.
What was I doing?
They're gonna be like, dude, what were you doing here? And like,
you're probably like, I was thinking about some chick. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's exactly.
I mean, the game was over, coach.
There you go.
The game was over, man.
That's exactly what the excuse is.
You know,
game was over. I didn't feel like I needed to hit him as a safety. Because the game was over. I didn't want to hurt myself.
I was thinking about preserving myself for next week, coach. I mean, it's only in Boise, Boise, Idaho. What the hell else is going on?
Dang it, Avalos. So bad. Just had so many different positions you could have them tackle.
Let's go to Nick at Walpole. Hey, Nick, you're on the Sports Hub. You have to pot him up.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey, guys, what's up? Are you taking Texas A&M at -2.5 today?
Ooh, we discussed this on our podcast, if you want to listen to it.
Before that, do you like Texas A&M at 2.5?
No, I don't. I think that's a little close. I think I'm going to stay away from this game today.
We were just talking about this off the air. Like, what are you going to watch at 1 o'clock today? You know, there's a lot of games early on that I'm looking at. Baylor Oklahoma is interesting to me. You know,
well, I go to UMass, so I'll definitely be watching the UMass Maine game today.
What do we got? We got the line right now. Is it still Maine favorite?
Maine -1.
Yeah, so go UMass on that one, even though I think we stink.
Oh, you definitely stink.
That sure is. Yes.
Definitely stink.
That is, yeah.
So, quickly, A&M's in a bad spot today. Off a big win on the road against a ranked opponent, like, you know, as a almost top 10 opponent, you know, laying points. Not exactly a spot I would want to be in as a Texas A&M backer. Just me personally. That's all.
All right, we get the Browns and Patriots game, and also we get the Bucks on the table today. So we'll do that coming up next. But first, this hour of the sports has been brought to you by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and business. Ask your independent agent about safety. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show, Hour 2, coming up next.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.